Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The hack song of the week. That's how you move on from Say Less. That's how the, I'll be honest with you, I think Hacksaw did a better job with that song than the Monkees did with the original song that he is paying homage to there.
We owe somebody an apology.
Is it Hacksaw?
No, we have to bring on our guests, and I have to apologize.
Why?
Because we didn't warn our guests that he was going to have to listen to Hacksaw.
Well, yeah, that's better. Because he just got to experience that.
Not everybody without needs a to warning. Experience that.
704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line. What grade are you giving the Hack Song of the Week this week? We're going to play it again at 140, the resident songbird of his generation in this station. Hacksaw Helbig will be joining us for his grading from Stan and I. But we've got the Jim Selania Gold Brick Ceremony coming up in 40 minutes as well. Without further interruption. With no apology from Nick Wilson, and maybe you're welcome from Nick Wilson that London Fletcher got to hear the Hack Song of the Week, we welcome on former Washington football team linebacker, former Rams linebacker, now with CBS Sports as an NFL analyst, the great London Fletcher on the Technicom hotline here. Fletcher, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And I don't know what his goal was. Was it to be awful? That was the goal, to be awful. Then he got a 10. That was. Man, it was hard to hear.
Fletch, I apologize, brother. Listen,
after listening to that,
Fletch, I'm sorry. I should have given you a heads up. I actually forgot that today was Friday. So that's really on you.
Well, no, I
didn't sing the terrible bleeping song. Somebody else did. So that's one of our former board ops. And it's a thing for him, so it's a bit. I appreciate your kind words there as we transition into seriousness with the game on Sunday.
So we've got this Carolina-Washington game. We've talked endlessly about the Cam stuff, the return home for Cam. We've talked about where the Panthers are. Where is the Washington football team coming from coming into this game?
Well, they're coming off a big win at home against the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you have to be happy, and I know they're happy with the way their offense played in that game, happy with the way their defense played in that game. And, you know, the Buccaneers, they got close in that ball game, and you saw Washington be able to have a 19-play, 80-yard drive to steal that game, and they did it against this Buccaneers defense that, you know, has been pretty stout against the run, but they were able to make plays on in the running game, also convert third downs, and it was an impressive win. So they're coming into this game very confident, but they know it'll be another challenge, a better challenge against an outstanding team.
Fletch, clearly, you know, defense, 13-year NFL linebacker, and I remind folks, you are in the Washington football team ring of fame. From a defensive standpoint, preparing for two quarterbacks, Cam Newton, P.J. Walker. It sounds like Cam may start, but just in preparing for Cam, if Rivera asked you, how would you go about defending Cam in this offense?
Well, Rivera, I don't know why he would ask me. He spent all those years with Cam, so he knows how to defend Cam. He knows what what kind of things can cause him problems possibly, and what's the best way to defend him in terms of, hey, the thing about Cam and his offense is you got to think about Christian McCaffrey and also Chuba Hubbard when he's at the running back position. You know, whether they're going to run, I'm sure they'll run a little bit more zone read type of stuff where you got to, as a defensive end, you have to make a decision. Are you going to crash and tackle the running back, or are you going to try to slow pull it, keep your shoulders square just in case Cam keeps it? But you have to, I can look at this as you need to get your safeties ready to be involved in the run game, play closer to the line of scrimmage, not play a two-shell type of deal, but be ready to trigger when you know it's a run and get that eighth or ninth guy up in the box to be able to defend the run. And you got to tell the corners, hey, you're going to be on the island a lot because we have to commit more bodies to stop the run.
London Fletcher, legendary NFL middle linebacker with Nick and Stan here, getting you ready for Washington versus Carolina Bank of America Stadium this weekend. A fellow Clevelander, might I say, just throwing that out there, legendary John Carroll football player as well. Fletch, looking at the Ron Rivera era in Washington, what grade would you give Ron through a season and a half in Washington?
Through a season and a half, well, They won a division last year, although it wasn't a great division, but they won a division. And so you look at that, you have to give him, I guess, a B plus, A, I guess you want to say, for that. But this year, they're currently 3-6, and you're looking at possibly a D situation. So I guess you average it out, and it maybe comes out to about a 6 C plus, if you were grading and being honest, just based on what happened last year, what's happened this year so far with the team.
Fletcher, in your years, you played with three NFL franchises. I imagine along the way there was a, quote, revenge game going back to one of the teams that you had played for previously. What would your advice be to Cam Newton and to the organization? Because Cam has done a great job. We just actually, in a previous segment, got through teasing him about essentially not saying much and trying to take something off this game from an emotional standpoint, but just your advice and how you would handle emotionally a revenge game of this magnitude.
Well, who is Cam trying to get revenge on Washington? Washington didn't cut him.
Yeah, but they also didn't sign him.
That's true. They did not sign him, and he's probably looking at it like, hey, you thought Taylor Heineke was better than me. I can. Cam likes to play with a chip on his shoulder, so that can be a motivating factor for him, and I know he'll try to downplay that. But I'm sure in his mind, he's looking at this as, hey, I was out on the street for, 8-9 weeks, and you had an opportunity to sign me. There was a need at the quarterback position in Washington. So there's something to prove for him, and although he's saying, hey, it's not about that, but he also needs to understand he doesn't have to do it all. They got a lot of weapons on that offense. They got a number two ranked defense. So they're playing at home. So he doesn't have to do everything in order for them to win this ball game.
Fletch, looking outside of this game this weekend, Carolina versus Washington at Bank of America Stadium, it's been a wild year in the NFC. There's a huge swath of teams in the middle of the NFC contending for the final few playoff spots, but you've got four teams in the NFC with 7 wins or more right now. Who do you think is the best team in the NFC at this moment? I should add that.
At this moment, I guess you would have to say, I'm going to say Green Bay is the best team. I know they struggled last week against Seattle, but they did win that ball game. Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't playing like himself, which you can understand, having been out with the COVID and not practicing all week and didn't get cleared until Saturday before right before that Sunday game. So I would say Green Bay because of the Aaron Rodgers and what he's able to do in their offense and when they're healthy, fully healthy. And then Green Bay's defense has really stepped up and played tremendous defense, much like Carolina's defense. Green Bay, I think, is the number 3 ranked defense in the league, and they've done a lot of things. They They make it tough on teams to score points. And when you have Aaron Rodgers and teams aren't scoring a lot of points, you have to be considered a favorite.
CBS NFL analyst, College Football Hall of Famer, 13-year NFL veteran, a proverbial Iron Man, if you will, London Fletcher, joining Nick and Stan here on Sports Radio FNZ. Fletch, let's go to the game that I think everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, a healthy portion of NFL fans at 425 on Sunday will have their attention at, what is this now, GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium? It's just going to be Arrowhead to me. Dallas on the road at Kansas City. Kansas City up and down this year. Dallas embarrassed 2 weeks ago, came back and put something on Atlanta, as we know. How do you see this one playing out, and who needs this one more?
You know, I would say, I don't know if you can say who needs it more, because they're both in great position. They're both leading their divisions right now. Dallas has a comfortable lead in their division. So I guess looking at that, you would have to say Kansas City needs it more, because they're just a game up on the Chargers in their division. The way I look at it, Kansas City, the way they played last week against the Raiders, they have to be encouraged, especially with the way that offense finally got kind of going. You know, Patrick Mahomes threw the 5 touchdown passes. Dallas, they're a really good football team, especially on offense. This is going to be a challenge for Dallas' defense going into Arrowhead, trying to stop Patrick Mahomes and that high-powered offense. I know Trayvon Diggs, he has the 8 interceptions, and Micah Parsons, the rookie linebacker out of Penn State, is having an outstanding rookie campaign. But you're going to need more than 2 guys to stop Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Follow this man on Twitter at LFletcher59. He is former Washington Buffalo and, at the time, St. Louis Rams linebacker London Fletcher. Now with CBS Sports as one of their NFL analysts. Also, a charlatan, London. We appreciate your time, man. Really do appreciate your thoughts.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Fletch.
London Fletcher there, who said if the goal for the Hacksaw was to be terrible, then Hacksaw pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm mixed. You know, I'm not mixed on my feeling. I know the grade right now that I'm going to give Hacksaw, but I will take another listen. We get 2 more.
Real quick, what else stood out to you about what Fletch said?
You know, Fletch almost deflected that there shouldn't be, or he inferred there shouldn't be a revenge component for Cam Newton because Washington, he never played there. So it seemed like, and I'm just reading through reading the tea leaves here, that maybe the Washington football team doesn't view this as a conflict the way that Cam might view this as an issue. Thought that was telling.
That's interesting because I've asked a few of my friends up there in Washington, what happens if Cam beats you? And the question's going to be real on Monday. If Cam Newton has enough to beat Washington, and that will effectively push Washington all the way out of the playoff picture, there's going to be some tough questions on Monday in Washington being asked by the Washington media. Good stuff with London Fletcher there.
Sure, yeah.
You know, we've been celebrating the return of Cam Newton and his return to Bank of America Stadium this weekend. But Charlotte celebrates a big anniversary. That's next on Sports Radio FNZ. Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We got the gold brick ceremony coming up in 20 minutes. But although it is a football Friday, yesterday the Hornets celebrated the anniversary of drafting, the 1-year anniversary of drafting LaMelo Ball. What is that? What is the 1-year anniversary? I've been married for a long time and I don't know. Is it paper? Do you give them it's a paper gift? I don't know. It's something.
Hell, I don't know, Nick.
I think they are. You should know. You're staring down the barrel of a marriage at one day.
So I should be talking about anniversaries when I don't even know the woman to be my bride at this point?
Have you never dated a woman longer than a year?
Yeah, I've almost proposed twice.
Okay, so you should know this. Wow. Shame on you. Pox
on you.
Can we
get to the anniversary first?
Well, no, I mean, there's the marriage anniversary, and then there's just the overall anniversary.
The overall anniversary, okay, we can celebrate that, but there's no, like, gift. There's nothing documented.
I'm going to be celebrating the 1-year anniversary of LaMelo Ball. by watching them play Indiana tonight, and then they've got the second half of back-to-back on NBA TV. For all of you folks who do not get to watch the Charlotte Hornets most nights, there is the NBA TV game tomorrow night. And it's funny that the anniversary of drafting LaMelo Ball came in between the second to last home game of this homestand and then the last one, which is tonight against Indiana, because it's also come towards the end here of a four-game winning streak. What do you want to see out of the Hornets this weekend?
This weekend, I would expect the Hornets to take care of business. These two teams in Atlanta on Saturday and the Pacers tonight, these two teams are not playing good basketball at the moment. I'm pulling up the standings as we speak.
Indiana's in third to last place in the Eastern Conference, and Atlanta is in 11th spot.
I mean, Atlanta's 4-6 in their last 10. They have won three in a row, and they will be well-rested, Atlanta. Hornets will be second night of a back-to-back. Hawks did not play last night, and they're not playing tonight. So they'll be on 2 days' rest. So I thought, I really do, and I told, who is this? Oh, me and KB were doing the post-game show to the game, whatever night that was. Was that Monday night? I don't know. They all kind of run together.
Time is a flat circle, yes.
So me and KB were talking, I was saying, look, this four-game win streak has allowed me to negate that five-game streak, most of that being in the Western Conference. So if you ask me what I'm looking for, continue to find ways to win, beat the teams that you're supposed to beat.
You've got a great patch of games, not just this weekend, but over the next week or 2 weeks here, really through the end of November, because you've got Indy at home tonight. Then you got a three-game road trip of Atlanta, Washington, Orlando, Minnesota at home on the 26th. Then you finish off the month, home game, road game against Houston, then road game against Chicago. The biggest game left on your schedule are road games against Washington and Chicago. All those other games, Minnesota's not playing well. Orlando is Atlanta. You've talked about Indy in Atlanta.
Houston's terrible.
Houston's got one win this year and is paying John Wall $40 million to sit at home. There is an opportunity here to make some hay. There is some opportunity here through the rest of this month to make a little bit of a run. And by the way, I think we should, even though there's a lot of road games here the rest of this month, you've only got two games left at home the rest of this month, I think there's a lot of reason to believe that they will make hay because of who they played. They've had success against playoff teams both on the road and at home this year. By the end of November, we could be talking about a Hornets team that once again is a top four seed in the Eastern Conference if you take care of what you're supposed to take care of.
So by the end of the month, what's that? There's 16 games in right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever that is.
That's 23.
So at the end of this month, we're 23 games into an 82-game regular season. We should know about what this team is going to be, give or take. So if they can flush out and win of these next seven, can I convince you they can go 5-2 over these next seven?
And not only can you convince me, I think that should be the goal.
So now if you add 5-2 and then add the four-game win streak that they're on right now, you end, no, you essentially go the month of November, what did I say, 5-2? That's 9-2. That now we're talking about giving yourself, and I don't want to use the term cushion, but you know what I mean. You've helped yourself for not knowing what's going to happen in the future.
Well, and the key to all of this is right now the Hornets are 9-7, and they're tied for fifth place in the Eastern Conference. So Miami's played well. They've actually also got a four-game win streak. But, like, Brooklyn has been up and down.
They have.
Chicago, quite frankly, is playing. They're still playing 600 ball in their last 10 games, but they were the hottest team in the NBA to start the season, and they've cooled a little bit. Washington has lost two straight. There's an opportunity here. And, again, guys, if they don't, this is a really thing. If they don't take advantage of the opportunity, it's not the biggest thing in the world.
You have some time.
But this is the kind of time where last year it was really you kind of stuttered out of the gates there at the end of December to start the season in the beginning of January. But right as January turned to February, they flipped a switch. And they really gave themselves the reason why they were able to stay in the playoff race despite completely falling apart at the end of the season is because they had built up such a cushion with how they played in February and March before the injuries really, and not just the injuries, the schedule. So this is one of these opportunities, and you don't get a lot of them in the NBA season. If this was playing playoff teams on the road, I'd be a little less convinced of this. But you're playing bad teams on the road. I think the expectation, considering they're already, they're only a game and a half behind Washington and they play them on the road here. I think the expectation should be when Charlotte comes back, or when Charlotte starts the Charlotte Hornets start the month of December, that they should be a top four seed. I think that's not just attainable. I think that should be the expectation.
Yeah, I love the point that you make there about giving yourself, and again, I'm trying not to use the word cushion, but that's the only one that comes to mind right now. The two things that do make me nervous over these next eight games, including tonight, you got two back-to-backs. So, like, listen, Saturday night, I'm not expecting that we're going to see the Hornets' best basketball. I hope we do. So if I'm James Borrego, let's take care of business tonight so I can get my starters off the floor. Now, he's been digging down into that bench. He went nine deep the other night versus Washington. I would love to see the starters come out. Let's establish position. Let's get off to a good start so we're not having to do this second half rally like they did laying down the law in the third quarter, playing that type of defense against the Wizards the other night on Wednesday. So you can pull the starters off the floor knowing you got to travel right down the road and play Saturday night in Atlanta. The next back-to-back is the 26th and 27th versus Minnesota here at home, and then you got to pack up and fly to Houston. So I think it's not just the wins for stacking the wins for the postseason. I also think James Borrego, like, and they said so at the end of last season, we got to continue to sell that this program is going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still levels that they can achieve throughout the regular season. They're not in a position where they can just fast forward to the play-in tournament or to the playoffs. They got to continuously prove, because they're still in the development of good habits portion of the program.
I think it's most important to have good habits by the time you get to January. I think that's when you really have to, by about midway through January, because then that gives you about a month, give or take, until the All-Star break. But I think that's really where you start to weed out in a traditional NBA season.
Which this is.
You have until about January to really, okay, this is what we do really well. These are the things that hold us back. And around mid-January is where you really have to flip the switch and start to weed those out so that by the time mid-March comes around, you're getting ready to take off for the playoff march. With that being said, one of the things that I think the Hornets' depth has concealed the fact that really nobody in their starting lineup has played consistently. Let me take that back. Miles has consistently been a really, really good player. LaMelo has been consistently impactful, but he hasn't been consistent across the board. Outside of that, Gordon's been peaks and valleys. Terry, coming off the injury, has been peaks and valleys. PJ, when he's played, peaks and valleys. Even Kelly Oubre, in the lineup, out of lineup. The starting lineup, in and out of it. Peaks and valleys. I think this stretch of basketball, I think it's important that a couple of those guys who've not been consistent start to find their consistency. I'm not talking that Terry has to start scoring 22 points a night, but the shooting has to start to come around. LaMelo. I do think at some point, LaMelo as a scorer, he doesn't have to score you 30 points a game, but the difference between a 30-point game and a 12-point game most nights, you need to consistently count on him for 16, 17, 18 points a game. I really think that's what this next stretch is about if they're going to maximize the next seven games through the rest of this month.
And I believe if we were to ask James Borrego about what we're talking about now, he would likely say, I want to continue to see the development, guys like Nick Richards. I need to see LaMelo continue to take the next step. Some of the younger guys, but also let's get back to, and they started to, I go back to, they play these quarters, and who was Sam Farber put this out there during the Washington game. I believe it was in that post game show. Kyle Bailey referenced it yesterday on his show, I believe. If the Hornets hold a team to 20 points or less in any quarter, they're undefeated. I believe James Borrego would say, let's take this opportunity, this stretch run where we're not playing against the elite NBA competition, and let's hone in on who we're going to be defensively. And again, get in a good habit of starting early with that defense and making life easier on ourselves later part of ball games.
Yeah, these games, it probably matters more if they come out flat, because that's just an effort thing. Right, that is, if you can't come out, and we saw this earlier this season with how they played in that Orlando game where they blew them away late. Even that Miami game, even though Miami's a good team. It doesn't bug me when you come out. Like, I think most NBA teams struggle with effort focus for 48 minutes early in the season. Right? There's very few exceptions. I think Miami doesn't really struggle with that. I think Golden State, those are like two teams. There's maybe Utah and Denver. So there maybe four. Maybe four of 30 teams in the NBA don't struggle with effort and focus early in the season.
I'll say a Doc Rivers coach team happens to be Philly this year.
Five teams. That's it.
Your point is taken. I'm just throwing teams out there.
So it doesn't bug me when it happens this early in the season, but it will start to grate on us. If games against Orlando are closer than it should be, if games against Minnesota, who's got a lot of talent but hasn't been very good, or Houston, don't let those teams hang around. Beat the teams you should beat. Mm-hmm. Beat them convincingly. And then be competitive with teams either in your class or above. The rest of this month is there for the taking for the Charlotte Hornets. I'm excited to see what they do. I really am.
Specifically tonight. Here we go. We see the Pacers for the second time this season. We remember that game was a good win to start off the season on a Wednesday night. The Pacers come back. And I'm just looking at the upcoming opponents. We know what the Pacers are going to do. The Pacers with Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner are going to pound the paint. Now, Duarte has been day-to-day. He's dealing with an injury. He was big for them in the game here to start the year. Specifically tonight, what are you looking for? What do you think is going to happen?
Win the game. That's what I'm looking for.
Hornets favored by one, for those that care. 7 p.m. tip over at the Spectrum Center. Pre-game and post-game right here on Sports Radio FNZ.
Hornets got a big weekend here tonight against Indiana, then tomorrow in Atlanta against the Hawks. But as we look through the rest of this month here, they've got five more road games, two home games. What do you want to see? When we start the month of December off talking Hornets basketball before their game against the Bucks on the 1st, what do you want us to be saying about the Charlotte Hornets? What do you want to see from this team over the final seven games of this month?
Some people are going to say Kai Jones and Book Night.
The Gold Brick Ceremony next on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, Dallin Cuff of the ACC Network and ESPN College Basketball Analyst. He'll be joining us coming up in just about 20 minutes. It is a Football Friday. We've got to get back to the Panthers and Washington football teams matchup at Bank of America Stadium. The homecoming, as it's been dubbed by the great Joe Person of The Athletic. But it is 12:40 on Fridays. And that means it's time for the Gold Brick Ceremony. We're going to play for you guys the four best moments from the show this week. You guys will pick what deserves the Gold Brick of the Week award for the best moment from the show this week. During What You're Burning On, I addressed a text that I received from a friend in the business that had a interesting observation about the way that I sound. But you sound noticeably thinner.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is...
Nasal passage is more clear?
This is the third time. Did I sound like Fat Brando in Godfather?
Wake Forest, I got big dick energy.
Is that how I sounded? And here's the thing. Ken is not the first person to tell me. This is now the third person in five shows of the last 3 weeks that I've done. Because yesterday we had somebody saying, man, Nick, you sound thinner. And at the very end, I think it was Thursday or Friday, before I went to Disney, there was somebody saying, I sound thinner. I have no idea what that means. I've gotten you sound good looking before, which is not the compliment that you think it is. Because that means they saw me in person and were like, oh, my. He does not look like he's not. How does one sound thinner? Did I previously? How did nobody tell me I was sounding fat? I still don't know what this means. I sound thinner. I don't know.
You're being sensitive, and you're looking for a reason to issue a bigoma.
No, sir.
This is someone's attempt to pay you a compliment. You should take it.
But what does it mean? Sound thinner mean?
Whatever the presumption of where they're trying to come from. You know, it's a positive place.
Does my voice sound thinner?
No, you sound like you're probably thinner, meaning happier, and you just have, there's a different energy through the voice.
If he said you have a lot more energy, but he didn't. He just said, there's a part of me. Ken and I go as Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio Network, and also 92.3 The Fan. Ken and I have also had our wars. I don't know if this is just meant to be a mind bleep. I think it's less actually about Ken and more that three people have made the same observation. So I just wonder, if you guys think I sound thinner now after losing 100 pounds, please explain what that means.
Number two.
During a college football, another segment that Nick and I argue regularly.
In analysis. There was analysis.
Nick Wilson questioned my fandom. He tried to compare fandom to Tonka trucks, but didn't go so well. He butchered the phrasing. So who determines that? Like, what's the end-all, be-all? How do we get to, I'm a real fan because I like this pro versus that?
Well, because...
So if you only like Power Five, you're not a real college football program?
No, what I'm saying
is... If you only like Group of Five?
What I'm saying is, if you are a college football supremacist, and all you want to see is bat your two Tonka Troys to get two Tonka Troys together. Together.
That's a go break.
And you want to bash, Oklahoma versus Oregon, because I understand this one... That's not real college football fandom. You root for the little guy in college football.
Whoa. You root for the little guy.
Yes, you
little
absolutely.
Little guy be damned.
Tonka trucks. Tonka trucks. I feel like schools like Wake Forest in Cincinnati are things that most people, including the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, don't understand. And that reminds me, when my one cousin was a little kid, anytime he would be given like a gift that was like an educational gift or like maybe a little bit older than his age, if it frustrated my cousin, we're going to put this toy away. We're going to go ahead and put this over here because it's upsetting him. That's what I think Cincinnati, Wake Forest, and schools of their like are to college football supremacists.
You just want to argue... For the little guy. You are, it doesn't matter who it is. Central Florida, Temple.
I'm the
University
public defender of college football.
So I'm the HOA press when it comes to Christmas lights going on. And
defense
I've been
attorney.
Seeing some of them up too. Take those bleeps down. Don't you activate those lights until I have my Christmas dinner, my Thanksgiving dinner. So what I am to the HOA is the press. That's you representing Group of Five and FCS teams.
So what I understand here is. You hate Christmas because you hate when Christmas lights are up before Thanksgiving.
Narrative alert.
And you hate when the little guy has a real chance to get into the playoffs.
The
so
little guy doesn't have a real chance.
You hate joy. You hate, like, you would be the guy saying, yeah, go Goliath. Woo! Whoop that bleep. You kill David. He stands no chance. That's what, in biblical times, you would be rooting for Goliath. That's who you are. I want you to know.
Wait. That is such a stretch.
You would have a Go Goliath sign at David versus Goliath. And you know what? The second that David knocked that bleep out, you'd be going and buying yourself your own slingshot.
When David is the son you know what? Let me not even get into that. Let's just go to number three.
It wasn't World War II. I thought we were safe.
Oh, God, let's definitely move.
Number three.
During Charming or Chach this week, the conversation moved to one Macaroni Jones, and which then caused both Stan and I the rare moment of agreement on the status of one Mac and Cheese Jones. I always put it into the mind of, if Mac Jones did it, what would I think about it?
Well, Mac Jones is standalone chotch.
Oh, absolute. Overwhelming chotch. Looks like a chotch, walks like a chotch, acts like a chotch.
Sounds like a chotch. But he's better than Sam Donald and PJ.
His ears kind of look chotchish as well. I don't know. I'm judging his ears, but it's fair. They look like they belong on Mr. Peepers.
I didn't
Saturday
like how
Night
he
Live.
Walked in his suit on draft day. He screamed chotchness the way he walked to go shake Goodell's hand on draft night. Ooh.
I just like the fact that you and I can't agree on Big Deke energy. We can't agree on hardly anything, but both of us understand. There's an innate understanding on this show that Mac Jones is the definition of chotch.
And he's exactly what Matt Rhule is looking for in a quarterback.
A chotch? Matt Rhule only likes chotches?
Well, he looks for guys that say less.
Uh-huh.
He likes guys that, quite frankly, have some limitations,
mm-hmm.
but are...
He likes average quarterback energy, AQE.
Just don't turn the ball over.
Uh-huh.
And thus far, Mac Jones is playing better ball than Sam Donald has ever played. And he could have given the organization some quarterback protection. But that's ancient history at this point.
If Mac Jones turns out to be Tom Brady, people are going to love him. But if Mac Jones turns out to be Joe Flacco, God.
You mean the guy that leaned on a defense in a run game and won a Super Bowl?
You mean the guy who was never an elite quarterback?
So let me ask you this. Would you rather be an elite quarterback and never win a title, or drive the car, a ton of playoff games, make exorbitant amount of money, and win a Super Bowl?
Would I rather be Dan Marino or Joe Flacco? I'd rather be Dan Marino.
Be Joe Flacco.
No, he wouldn't.
Every NFL player would trade Hall of Fame listen, let me get it out. Every NBA player or NFL player that doesn't have a ring, they don't want to trade the money, but they would trade the accolades to get the ring.
So you're telling me Carmelo Anthony wishes he was Robert Horry?
He wants to keep the money, but yes, on the floor, he would rather be Robert Orr. You play to win the game.
That's a North League
and
narrative.
Get paid. No, call the dudes. You got dudes in your phone that play. Call and ask them. Would they rather win a title or have crazy dumb stats and be in the Hall of Fame? Stan.
Number 4.
Chotch.
After a week of having to, some might say argue, others might say converse, well, even debate, one William Eugene Pelagic. I got into yet another heated argument with the resident host of this program. That would be Nick Wilson. And of course, here we go again. It's college football and the general rules that exist in the sport.
I can accept the general rule of law in college football. It's when people use a general rule as a hard and fast rule to disqualify anyone.
Who's disqualifying Wake?
People have disqualified Wake.
They're disqualifying themselves.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't. Because they have one loss.
Did they get beat?
They have one loss.
Did they lose?
How many teams are undefeated in college football in the top 10?
They lost Cincinnati. They lost to an unranked North Carolina. Of course, that was easy. Like, it's Georgia and everybody. They lost to an unranked Tar Heel team.
So Alabama lost. So does Alabama get kicked out of the conversation?
Alabama's better than Wake Forest.
Michigan has not been a historically relevant program.
Michigan is better than Wake Forest.
Michigan has been the pits for 20 years.
They're better
Michigan
than Wake Forest. This year, Michigan State's better. Michigan's better.
How are they better?
Because they played better competition and they have the same record. So they're better. If I play more opponents that are better than the opponents you play.
So in your opinion.
And hold on. And those teams all have better wins than what Wake Forest has.
So I don't think we can delve into what we talked about because it will only lead to a similar argument. I think we should just give out the candidates and send people to @WFNZ on Twitter.
After this week, I'm not discussing college football with you rest of the season.
All right. Is that a promise? Vote @WFNZ. The candidates are Thin Nick, Tonka Trucks, Chotch, or WEP. That stands for not WAP, but it stands for William Eugene Pelagic.
It's actually WAP.
That's exactly what I said.
You said WAP.
Dallin Cuff of
Points
ESPN.
And
ACC college basketball analyst gets us ready for the weekend in college basketball next on Sports Radio FNZ.